Matt Smigo, manager of the State Government Relations Department at Michigan Farm Bureau.
Matt, the Michigan legislature breaking for their summer recess, getting a lot of things taken care of as far as the agricultural legislation you've been paying attention to. Can you share a little bit more about what's been finalized and moving through Lansing?
I would say that this is an unprecedented session as far as the number of accomplishments for agriculture, and that's probably an understatement. We were able to achieve a large number of priorities for policy issues that our members have worked on over a decade. And so one of the bill packages, as an example, is DEQ oversight legislation. Senate Bill 652 to 654 are on its way to the governor's desk. And this bill package really is not born out of anything recent, but essentially legacy issues. And it's intended to shed some light on decision-making that's made by unelected officials, agency staff, and particularly within the DEQ. You know, we hear often from our farmers that as they're going through permitting processes, things of that nature, sometimes, depending on the staff persons that they're working with, there may be questions about, you know, where is this within the law or where is this within the rule, and feel like individuals may be blurring those lines. This package is really designed to kind of call out those issues and frankly acknowledge the staff that are upholding the law and the rule as intended and implementing the law in that way. But for those individuals that are not, this really sheds more light on that and provides some greater opportunity for an average citizen of the state in working through those processes. So of the three-bill package, the first bill creates increased transparency in the rulemaking process. The second bill, 653, looks more at the permit process and has additional scientific reviews associated with that. And then the final bill, 654, re-implements the Environmental Science Advisory Board to have an academic review of any emerging environmental issues. And so we think there's a lot of validity to this process. We hope that they are long-standing changes that make fundamental cultural change over the Department of Environmental Quality and really encourage good behavior among the staff as far as implementation of the laws of our state.
That package did have some apprehension going through the process. What might have been changed from maybe some of the original legislation or some of the feedback going through the process?
So, you know, some of the groups had expressed concern about the makeup of some of the bodies and their function. I will tell you that we have changed through the process. The Rural Oversight Board eventually had been altered. The bill as introduced would have given authorities to that particular board to be the final decision maker on rule promulgation for the DEQ. Under the amended version that's going to the governor's desk, the governor will be the final decision maker. But it does bring in, again, a third-party evaluation of rule promulgation for the department. So it's not just, again, agency staff pushing out rules. There's some checks and balances that will be provided as a part of this. Additionally, on the rule oversight, we had the rule review board was the final decision-making body early on in the process. That's been altered, so they will be giving clear recommendation to the director for determination and ultimate decision-making in the early processes, but they still have a very strong voice and, again, allows an individual kind of shed more light into the procedures that are being taken place.
What were some of the other packages moving through that agriculture is part of?
So one of the more significant ones that will have impact is water withdrawal policies. House Bill 5638, introduced by Representative Aaron Miller. This bill essentially streamlines the current process that we have, that we've been operating on under since 2008. You know, Michigan really were pioneers in the water withdrawal management system that we have, using science as an evaluation versus arbitrary permitting. However, throughout the process, we've learned some things. And since 2008, there's been updates to a lot of the scientific modeling and evaluation that's being done, and particularly in areas that need a little bit further review. Today, that's done by the DEQ. But there's not real good direction in sideboards as to time frame that that takes, as well as the process that has to be undertaken. And so we've found from hearing from our farmers that it can be very costly, very time-consuming. And so the intent behind House Bill 5638 is to streamline that process, to put into the statute very clear direction of what models will be utilized. We further clarify the time frame that DEQ has for its evaluation and analysis, and really kind of put some more clear direction, if you will, in the processes for approval of new water withdrawals moving forward. So we think there's a lot of value to that, again, enabling people to make good decisions based on science, but also put some clear time frames associated. That bill also is heading to the governor's desk.
On the education front, there has been some updates that will impact the ability to help train and educate on agricultural careers. What's happening on that front?
So agriculture has been very proactive, along with many other industry segments, to say we need an educated labor source for our industry, and making sure that we have great training programs in the state to do so. Obviously, our focus on flexibility within the merit curriculum has been something that our organization and others have been working on for a while. One of the bills that would create value in that area is Senate Bill 175, sponsored by Senator Jim Stamas, would actually extend the sunset on the merit curriculum flexibility for foreign language credit. Essentially, a few years back, we had that put into place, but the time frame is that it would end with the class of 2021. Senate Bill 175 will now extend that for an additional 3 years so we can continue that conversation and evaluate the results. But ultimately, when it comes to programs like agri-science education, for example, making sure that students have that ability and flexibility to take those classes that they're interested in and ultimately pursue a career in and continue their education is important. Another area within the education realm, the governor talked about in his State of the State this year, a focus on the Marshall Plan, as he's dubbed it. It's essentially a grant program for intermediate school districts that look at a focus again on career tech education, and providing some additional tools for those districts. We were very supportive of those efforts as well, and so that, among many other elements, there's several other bills that were dubbed Career Pathways package of legislation that further enhance and focus on the career tech ed, and we see all those as a positive.
You said that this was one of the most jam-packed agricultural-related legislative sessions you've seen in some time. What do you think was partly behind that, and any other issues for the rest of this year on hand?
Clearly, I think, you know, having the right people in the right seats makes this job much easier, and the focus to be able to get as much legislation. You know, obviously, this is an election year that we're going into, and making sure that we have agricultural-friendly candidates in those seats definitely makes the discussion that much easier and at least understood. And so having people that are willing to engage in conversations to understand the agricultural perspective is vitally important. I don't believe that we would be able to get as much done if we didn't have individuals within the legislature and the governor's office that are supportive of our industry.